Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
This is episode 16. I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back.
Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Yeah.
We're branded. We haven't even talked about what we are.
We haven't for a long time.
Not for a long time.
You just got back from Peru.
I did. I was up in the high Andes mountains of Peru. I did not see a llama. I was rather disappointed.
How could you go to Peru and not see a llama? Aren't there llamas in the airport?
Not real ones. I mean, I saw like fake llamas, but I didn't see like an actual llama out in the wild. We were in a different part of the mountains. I've been to other parts of the mountains that where you could run into a llama just by driving your Toyota Corolla around the corner, but not where I was this time.
I'm really disappointed.
I knew you'd be disappointed. The whole flight home, I thought Steve's going to be so mad that I didn't get a picture with a llama.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So we wanted to just talk about Sherpas for a second, because we haven't really explained Sherpas since the very first episode 00,
right,
and of how we came up with this name.
And hopefully we have more listeners now than we did at episode 00.
Well, we definitely have more than we did at 00,
that's true.
Even if we only have one still. Yeah. But anyway, so the reason we use the language of Sherpas is because we think it's really descriptive of what we're trying to do as a podcast. You know, we're really about trying to help others by carrying their burdens and helping them to achieve greatness in youth ministry.
Yep, help kind of guide along the trail. Both of us have been doing this a really long time.
Yeah.
And so we've learned a few things along the way, and hopefully we've stepped in some potholes, or we've taken some wrong turns on the trail that maybe we can, through our storytelling, can help keep somebody from having to learn the hard way. They could learn it the easy way by listening to a podcast on their way to work.
Yeah, sure. And that's what Sherpas do. They help others by carrying their burdens and helping them make the climb and complete the adventure, and really that's what we're all about, trying to keep youth workers in the game for as long as possible.
So we hope it's been helpful here through the first 15 episodes plus the 26 Sherpa Shorts. We hope that they have, in fact, helped guided you on the path and keep you excited about doing what God's called you to do, because we're thrilled that you're doing it and hope that you keep doing it for a long, long time.
Absolutely. So today we want to talk about the summer, and you know, it's about, we're recording this, I guess, a week and a half before Memorial Day. It's going to release the Tuesday before Memorial Day.
So everybody's in summer mode.
Did you get your pool open yet?
I don't have a pool.
Yes, you do. Don't you?
Well, I have a creek in my backyard. you know, pool or pond, either way it'd be fine with me. There's neighborhood pools that my kids swim in.
Well, that's
at.
Even better.
So I don't have to do any work. They just open.
All
and
the
they
enjoyment,
open,
none of the work.
And they open Memorial Weekend.
Okay.
And all of my kids are lifeguards. That's their summer.
Oh, cool.
That's their summer gig. So they're pretty excited about Memorial Weekend, because for them that is the beginning of cash flow season.
Excellent.
You know, they actually have. We don't let the kids work during the school year. We want them to focus on schoolwork and stuff. So their money making opportunity starts Memorial Weekend and ends Labor Day weekend.
Nice.
They're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready for summer. I just got to get through the next 30 days first.
Yeah.
I got senior banquet next weekend, which is a big deal here. And then all the transition events, moving up the freshmen, moving up the sixth graders, party after party. It's craziness. It's just craziness.
May is a tough time in a youth worker's life with all the stuff that you just mentioned, the transition events and
the grad parties,
and
all that stuff.
Depending on where you live in the country, you have this changing of the seasons, and so there's this excitement about it's getting nice out,
yeah,
the sun is coming out, and yet you have no time to enjoy it because you're just back against the wall. But then, you know, you kind of hit that Memorial weekend. And then, you know, it doesn't exactly end, because it still flows into early June there.
Yeah,
but
it depends what the school calendar is.
Yeah,
too.
But then you get to start enjoying the. I love Memorial Weekend. because it's the beginning of what I call, for me, hammock season.
Oh, nice.
So I have a hammock in the backyard, and it's up already because the days are getting nice. I just haven't been in it yet because of the schedule. But come Memorial Weekend, I sort of have this where I want to be in the hammock. Any day that's weather dependent, I want to be in the hammock every day from Memorial Weekend through Labor Day weekend.
Oh, that's an excellent goal. That I'm home.
Even if it's 10 minutes. Even if it's just 10 minutes to just lay there and stare at the trees. That's kind of my summer happy place.
Our summer happy place is the backyard with my fire pit back there. I love just chilling around.
It's a very nice fire pit. I've sat around it. I've had a libation around that fire pit. It's beautiful.
So relaxing to sit back there. We have actually a park behind our house, so there's no other homes behind us. And just sitting back there in a nice summer evening, nothing better than that.
Absolutely. But summer...
youth ministry.
Brings about a whole kind of different... It's almost like a whole different world.
It is a different world. It's completely different than the rest of the year.
Yeah, because we're working with students who follow this rigid school schedule that then we have to program around it. We program our school year around it. And now we come to this time where then they're just released.
Everything looks so different.
They're free as birds to wander around and hang out.
Yeah.
You keep looking over your shoulder. I think you're waiting for a Starbucks, aren't you?
My Starbucks is being delivered shortly.
Steve's a little flat right now, but pretty soon it's going to pick up.
Come on, Starbucks. Where are you?
Anyway, so we just thought we'd take an episode and talk about kind of what it looks like for us.
The summer flow.
And you know, what does it look like in your ministry? What does it look like in how you spend your time? Mm-hmm. And then the importance of rest. So when it comes to ministry, how do we structure our ministry in this new season of the students' lives of freedom?
This is probably different.
See Starbucks.
Here's my Starbucks.
We don't have this podcast to bring you.
Starbucks.
Starbucks coffee.
Thank you, Leah.
You're
now
the best.
You're going to be on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Say Leah, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. They didn't have cold brews. It's just iced coffee.
Well... see if they get my business again.
Wow. They will. Probably tomorrow.
Good luck.
Thanks. So, yeah, so we have to think about how we program our ministries given this new season of the students' lives where they have more time on their hands, but there's also lots more to do and vacations and all that kind of stuff. So what does that look like for you?
It's a challenge. Based on the school calendar in Maryland, the students get out pretty late, and so things get pretty compressed. So I've wrestled with this in different ways for a lot of years, how to do this most effectively. Here are the factors that go into the planning of the summer at our church. We have things that are on the calendar that have nothing to do with student ministry, but kind of affect the life of the church.
So sure, they impact you.
Yeah, we have a kids' day camp, which is a whole week. This summer is going to be 2 weeks. We have an FCA camp that we host, which is another week of the summer. And we don't get started with the actual summer until... you know, second week of June, kids get out of school. So we're already working with about maybe 6 or 7 weeks total, it feels like.
Yeah.
So we try to front load the summer. We do our mission trip or our conference, usually are finished with those by middle of July is the way we flow. So, and then we do our regular youth ministry as many Sundays as we can, given the rest of the church calendar.
Sure. When you do your
broken up,
when you do your regular Sundays, right? So yeah, you have a Sunday night high school meeting, you have a Wednesday night middle school. And I know you're in, depending on your listeners, what your schedule is. So you, when you say your regular meeting, is it any different in the summer than it is during the school year?
Yeah, it's a lot different for us. For one thing, we've talked about this before. We give our volunteers the summer off. So we'll take them through, this year it's through June 10th, and then they're off for the summer.
Wow, I want to be a volunteer in your church.
It just seems to work out. So many of them are coming and going anyway. So rather than trying to figure out who's going to be there any given night, we just say, take the summer off, we'll get you ramped up back in September.
Could you not tell the volunteers at Cedar Brook about that? I'd appreciate that.
If your leaders really loved you and cared about you.
Not helpful, Steve, not helpful.
They have the summer off, so we have to program in a way that's different because we won't have our small groups over the summer.
Sure.
So everything's in big groups. So big group game. We'll do teaching in a big group. Outside if we can, you know, mix it up that
sure.
way. Maybe do a video series instead of prepping messages. Or if we have a summer intern, we'll put them in charge of everything.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, it just looks different than a typical Sunday night during the school year for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And same is true for us. You know, we'll meet, our high school group will meet on Sunday nights. And since our middle school group meets on Sunday morning during the service, it stays pretty consistent.
Okay.
But we just programmed that time differently for the same reason. We don't give our leaders the summer off, but what we tell them is we have lower expectations for them in the summer. In the school year, we're very stringent. Like, you need to be there 3 out of 4 weeks, and if you can't be there, this might not be the role for you, because the consistency is important. In the summer, we tell them, we just want you to come when you come. When you're here, we'll be glad you're here. And when you're not, we're not going to be like, oh man, where are they? We figure it's summer and stuff's going on. And
we used to send that same message. It just never seemed to really play out very well.
So. Yeah. And so, you know, we'll just kind of take stock of who we've got. So our small groups, rather than the regular small groups meeting in the summer, we'll, every week is different. One week it's like, okay, freshman, you're a group, sophomores, you're a group, or we'll, when they come in, they get a color. All right, blues, you're in a group, you know, I mean, just because it mixes the students up. And then we'll just say, there's 8 leaders here. So you 2 are with that group, and it works and it happens. And we, some of the elements stay the same. We still worship and we have teaching, but sometimes the worship is very unplugged, or we're out back. We have a little section behind our church with some benches, and we go outside if it's nice, and just a guy and a guitar, or we won't do worship at all, and we change up teaching, you know, so the teacher is either students or it's volunteer leaders, you know, during the summer, rather than the middle school pastor or the high school pastor. So just sort of changes things up, because the kids are in a new mode. We want to kind of...
Yeah.
Keep them honest. Keep them paying attention.
It probably depends on the part of the country that you live in, or the culture of your church, or the culture of your region. We live in a fairly affluent location in Maryland, and there's a lot of vacations and vacation houses and beach houses
and lake houses.
It's pretty ridiculous, actually, but good for them.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of people coming and going over the course of the summer in the church at large, let alone the youth ministry. So for us, we've landed on the value of the big events.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big stuff that we nail down and try to get kids to come to, and then let the rest just kind of fall into place around it.
Yeah, so, to keep the consistency.
Yeah, so we have a conference this summer. We have a missions trip this summer, and we want kids to participate in those. Those are like the flagship programs of the summer, and everything else just kind of falls into place around that.
Yeah, yeah, we're similar. A lot of bigger events that are really sort of targeted as contact events, you know, a trip to the amusement park, a beach trip, or our middle schoolers go to this lake where they have like the big inflatable things and the slides and stuff. Guppy Gulch, I think it's called, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's events that on their surface.
I gotta steal that idea, by the way. I'm writing that down right
Guppy
now.
Guppy Gulch, it's a great place.
Gulch.
Yeah, yeah. It seems
it
really
sounds lame,
it sounds lame, but it's actually pretty cool. You know, events that don't have, a lot of events that don't on their surface have like a major spiritual impact, but they're part of sort of just reaching out to their friends, contacting, keeping relationships going, preparing for the school year to have those relationships be deepened. So we do a lot of what we would call, you know, contact relational events.
Okay.
You know, meet up at a park for the afternoon, go to the movies, you know, I mean, just because we just know that they're free. You know, they have time, because they've lost 7 hours of higher education into their day. Now they're, you know, and they can't play Fortnite forever. But we have to have those things in place. But maybe the way we think about those things is just different. It's more relaxed. It's more...
Let's just hang. You know,
it's less programmed.
Create an environment where kids can come, hang out, build relationships. And then some spiritual content.
You still put the time into planning those things, but you don't lose your mind when, it's July 4th or it's July 6th.
Right.
And we had Sunday night because it was Sunday night, but instead of 50 kids here, there's like 14.
Right.
Well, then we're not going to do the thing we planned. We're going to go play gaga ball, and then we're going to go down the road to Froyo.
Yeah.
And during the school year, I would be like, blah!
Right.
But I think in the summer, I gotta be like,
what
a cool thing, you know? And to have that, because that's the mode they're in. You know, they're in the hey, I got like 3 things to do today, but it doesn't matter when I do them or how long I do them because I got all day. There's nothing to do.
I can remember my first couple years in the summers, especially in the middle school group. There would be nights where we'd have like 6 kids.
Yeah.
And I would pack them in the car and I would take them to Jimmy Cone.
Sure.
For ice cream. And they loved it. It was a blast.
They probably still talk about that to this day.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, I don't know.
We can't do that anymore because we're going to have too many kids for me to throw in the car. But it's still kind of that chill. Let's hang out. Let's enjoy each other's company. And,
yeah,
you know.
So almost irregardless of what your – because, again, the how you structure your ministry. And we just talked about how we structure our ministry. But for everybody listening, you have factors of where you live in the country.
Yeah.
You have your church culture. Whether there's day camps or whatever's going on. You have all these things. But irregardless of how you structure it, maybe it's more about the mindset you get into in the summer of really upping that priority of the win in the summer is time spent with kids.
Yeah.
And the content is the bonus. It's what happened. Whereas I think during the school year, I think the content is the win. And then getting to be with students is great, but...
It's almost like we all need to take the Southern Cal mentality, you know,
yo,
take the surfer mentality into the rest. Into
sure,
the
dude.
Yeah, just kind of relax and go with the flow.
Yeah, a slower pace of life.
Yeah.
Would not be a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all.
And I also think we need to really emphasize the big events in the summer because I think that's where the true wins are. So missions trip, conference, camps.
Big those events where you can contact other kids that you don't normally get to contact.
And a lot of times those are times when kids are making big life decisions. That might be the time when they meet Christ or they really commit to following him. Mm-hmm. So we need to strike while the iron's hot in
absolutely
those big events
and be there.
Make the most of those. And
right,
those are the biggest memory builders too.
Absolutely. Which kind of leads into then how do we structure as the leader, mm-hmm, as the guy who's paid... Or for some of you, maybe not paid, but you're in charge. How do we change how we structure our time? Because I know that for me, as a full-time paid employee, the way that I structure my time and my weeks, mm-hmm, between the middle of June and the end of August is far different than I do from September 1st to the middle of June.
And you're probably in the office a lot less.
I try to be in the office a lot less because what's happening in the office?
Right. Yeah.
You know? Kids are available. They're out there. And so, you know, for a couple of summers, we put it on the summer calendar. You know, I had this middle school director named Gina G, and everyone called her G. That was just kind of her nickname. And so on the calendar, every Wednesday was hang with G from 1 to 4.
Hmm.
And then there was a note that said, if you want to do something with Gina G on a Wednesday, call her up and say, let's go to the movies or let's go wherever. Driven by the students.
Okay.
But... I've blocked this time off my calendar to go do something. I don't have any plans. I don't have any meetings except for I'm waiting for a student to say, hey, take me to the movies or take me to ice cream or let's go to the mall or let's go to the pool. And, you know, I tell you, that took off in a hurry. People were parents were emailing, oh, that's great, yeah. Her and her friends, they want to go to the mall. Will you take them to the mall? Yeah, I'll pick them up and take them to the mall. And off she goes with a carload of people to the mall for the day.
That's cool.
And but, you know, you can do that in the summer. You can't do that during the school year.
That's true.
And so whether you do that formally, like putting on a calendar, or whether you just know mentally you're going into the week, what are my blocks of time this week that I am not going to be productive, like creating things.
Right.
I'm only going to be productive in that time is only a win if I find students to be with, if I find things to do with people. And
that's
so, yeah, and again, depending on your work culture and your church culture and depending on the size of your ministry, there's no shortage of things in the summer to do. It's not like you have less work to do. There's a little less sometimes.
What if you're in a church that requires you to wear a suit to work every day and then you got to wear a suit all summer and hang out with kids at the mall in a
You
suit.
Should probably go to a different church. I'd put your resume up on YS or church staffing and see if you can find a church that... I mean, that's just me because I'd never laugh. I have one suit. It's my marrying and bearing suit, so...
for me, I think the summer calendar comes down... Personal calendar comes down to the trips.
Sure.
I look at like between mid-June and mid-July... I might be gone 20, 25 days.
Right.
Between the conference, the missions trip, the lake day, the amusement park, maybe a family vacation if that happens to fall on
that. Wouldn't
that
be great?
Yeah, that'd be nice. And so there's only a few days really over the course of maybe 6 weeks that I'm even around.
Right.
I'm with kids a lot of those times, but I'm away.
Right. Trip, you're not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So when you have those days that you're around, how are you structuring those days? You're catching up, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm mowing the grass is what I'm doing.
You're mowing the grass. You're digging out from 300 emails that came in while you were in Greece. And...
Yeah. Another piece of that equation is if we have a summer intern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to spend time with that intern and build into the future leaders too.
Right.
This summer we're not doing that. But most summers I've had a significant time factor.
Of pouring into them.
Invested into the interns.
Sure. Yeah. Making sure they're successful and they know what they're doing and that the internship gets them, you know, down the road towards being a youth leader. So,
yeah.
But there is definitely a different way to structure your time in the summer. And so again, for you as the listener here, you got to take a look at what your culture and structure is, what your schedule. How many trips are you gone on? I mean, there are people that don't have days in the summer
right.
to do that because they're gone so much. But to think about, you know, how are you upping your investment level relationally in the summer when the students are more available than they are during the school year.
Yeah, so it's almost as if we kind of give ourselves a pass on some of the highly programmed stuff and really just step back and think about how we're going to spend time with students and maximize the time with them over the course
right.
of the
what are the things that you like to do? You know, kill two birds with one stone.
Sure.
What are the things that you like to do that you could find some students to do it with? I know that the summers that I had students in my youth group who were into golf were the best summers of my student ministry life because then I could go play golf and it was work.
That's awesome.
It wasn't PTO.
I don't think, you know, this weekend is the Frederick Craft Brew Festival in Carroll Creek.
I don't think you should take any students to that. There are some limitations to this plan of finding out what
That's
you're passionate
well.
About and doing that. Golf is a good one,
golf.
You know. Playing sports, going to the pool, whatever it is,
going
for a hike, yeah, take them to the ball games. I mean, good stuff like that. We've got to restructure that time. And then there's the importance
of rest.
Of rest. Summer affords an opportunity to rest.
So I have a really radical way of looking at this, personally and church-wise. We are so busy from mid-May through July. All the time. Stuff going on all the time. I might be gone 20, 30 days. Come August, we don't do squat.
You don't do anything.
We hardly do a thing.
I love it.
We set aside a couple of weeks where there literally is nothing. In fact, on my summer calendar this year, it's in black. There's nothing in that space. And then we have a few things. We have like a student leadership training that we're going to do. We're going to do a girls' pool party that I don't have to lead or plan. And we have a baptism service at the end of the summer. Otherwise, it's either hanging out with students, being on vacation with my family,
mm-hmm.
or planning for the fall.
Yep.
And that requires a significant...
Sure, you need some bandwidth, space.
I need 2 or 3 weeks just to think through the whole school year and get the program and the
structure.
Leaders trained and
yep.
all that kind of stuff, too.
Absolutely.
And thankfully, August kind of supports that here.
And again, culturally, we have that going for
we
us.
Do.
August
yeah.
here is a primary vacation month for families.
Absolutely.
So if you try to do something here in August, it may or may not go well.
You got vacations. You also have band camp, football camp, cheerleading
yep.
camp.
All the sports are getting started. School mode is starting. So
kids
we have the same.
Kids aren't available.
We have the same thing. We actually call it a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Like our CBSM is Cedar Brook Student Ministry, CBSM. Yeah, on the calendar. Cedar Brook Student Ministries sabbatical. No events for 2 weekends and basically 3 weeks.
Right.
You know? So it's just shutdown mode. It gives our leaders a chance to rest, gives me and the other staff in the student ministry a chance to, again, it's not like we're off those 3 weeks. We still have to work. We have a job.
Yeah.
But it gives us the bandwidth, like you were just saying, to give our mind share to some bigger picture planning
mm-hmm.
and thinking, because we're not in the minutia of what's happening Sunday night and who's doing this and what game are we playing and what's the
get
lesson.
Off the treadmill a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And to think, and again, it's a great time for us to take vacation because we're taking vacation without having to, you know, fill in all the gaps while we're mm-hmm. gone. Usually when you go on vacation, like, all right, well, who's going to do this for me? Who's going to do that for me? Here you can just take a vacation and not even think about it because there's nothing going on. And so, but I also think there's a value in allowing the students to refresh, to take a step away
their life doesn't depend on being at our student ministry events?
Well, I don't think
it's... Does their life shut down when the student ministry shuts down?
For most, probably not. For some, it does. The two Sundays that we don't meet, I guarantee you there'll be some pool parties or there'll be a kickball night or something that the students will organize, the youth group. And but it'll have to happen at someone's house, and they'll have to self-promote it and make sure there's an adult around that's not a youth staffer.
They can do whatever they want to. What's
do whatever they want, exactly. But I think it allows to build some momentum for sort of a relaunch.
Well, there's definitely absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think taking a break builds momentum for the launch. Absolutely.
And for us, it gives the 2 weeks that we're off are the week leading up to school and the first week of school. Mm-hmm. And so it gives them a chance to settle into that mode and get that rhythm back together again before we, fire back up again.
I think the parents appreciate that too. Absolutely. That's a busy time.
Sure. Getting
back into school.
Yep. So rest. So summer. It's going to be great.
It is.
I'm looking forward to it.
How far in advance do you plan your summer?
Our summer calendar comes out in April. To publicly, but it's usually locked down by January or February.
Dang, you guys are good.
Yeah, again, some of those big events, you have to lock them in. Big events have to lock them in. So then after that, it's just plug it. You just look in between the big events. When do we have to do some of the smaller events? And they plug, they play, and we're usually locked in. And again, because it's driven around the trips, and the trips usually you're booking, the dates are booked almost a year in advance. For some of the missions trips and things like that, you've got to. So,
That's impressive.
Yeah, so it's good. It's out there, ready to go.
Can't wait.
Top is off the Jeep. I'm ready for summer.
It's beautiful here today in Maryland. We're pretty happy.
Yep, I drove up here today with the top down and Hillsong United cranking on the radio.
I think I got to go light up the fire pit tonight. Ooh. Chill out with my wife. Sitting around the fire. That sounds pretty good.
That sounds like a good Thursday night.
It does.
I'll be prepping the house for college kids returning tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So the house will fill back up again tomorrow.
Okay.
Which is another wonderful thing about summer.
That is true.
Yeah. So hopefully this is helpful. Again, love to hear some of your stories, hear how you guys do summer, what changes in your ministry.
It's a totally different vibe in the summer.
Yeah. And so jump on our Facebook page or our Instagram and give us a shout out. Tell us kind of what your summer looks like. What are your big traditions, big things that your kids look forward to? We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening today. Hope this is helpful. And we will be back next week with
episode 17.
Yeah, we're planning to go through the summer. So even though we're taking the youth ministry sabbatical at the end of August,
we hope to have episodes rolling for most of the summer. Yeah, we'll there may be a couple of weeks that you have to go quiet, but we'll see how we get this done.
We're well intentioned.
Yes, well intentioned.
Thanks for listening, Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep it going.
Sherpas out.